And now, today's word.
Jesus, the fullness of God's glory, God's ways, God's power, God's being, God's nature. And the Bible says that this Jesus, who carried God, the Godhead, we are complete in Him. That simply means that our completeness in life is based on the presence of Christ in us. When He comes into you, you are complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In Him, we lack nothing. David anticipated this in the 23rd Psalm when he boldly announced, "The Lord is my shepherd. I am complete. I shall not want." When you have Christ in you, there is nothing you don't have, because He is all things. If you have all things in you, then there is nothing you don't have. We are complete in Him. Christ in you, the hope of the glory, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in the Lord, and we are complete in Him. We are complete in Him. What completes the Christian is in Christ. What completes us, what makes us perfect, what makes everything work right in our lives is in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. So we know that He carried the fullness of the Godhead. But let's look at a few more things that the Bible talks about Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to 20. And Colossians 1 15 to 20 says, He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. That means whether in the natural world or in the spiritual world, by Him all those things were created. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Oh God. Note the verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. It was God's joy to make sure that when Christ came, He didn't come empty. He came with all fullness. It's very important. If somebody comes to your house empty-handed, you will receive him and love him. But when somebody also comes to your house fully loaded, you will receive him and smile. Has somebody come to your house fully loaded? The person comes to your house and he says, "Oh, can you have some people go to my car outside, because I have some things for you." And you go out there and there is yams and there is cassava and there is chicken and there is some meat. And there's cooking oil, and there's some nice biscuits, and some chocolate, and all of that. And on top of that, he adds money. So he comes, he is fully loaded. He is a human being. He's coming to you fully, for it has pleased him that he should come to your house full. Now, another person comes to your house and he came. But you just see that he has just come. And those are the kind of people, you welcome them to your house, you chat with them, and you are saying, asking, when is he going? When is he going? But those who come fully loaded, you want them to stay because you know, maybe they even have more to unload. So you want to prolong the conversation because he is fully loaded. Everybody say he's fully loaded. That is how Jesus came. The Bible says, for it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. Jesus came fully loaded. He didn't just come in the flesh as a weak person. He came fully loaded with the Godhead and all fullness in him. So let's break that down, what we just read in Colossians. Let's look at the four things, or let me draw attention to four attributes of Christ's fullness. The first thing that the Bible talks about his fullness is his person. His person. The Bible says he's the image of the invisible God. When you see him, you have seen the unseen. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he's the express image of God's person. The exact image of God's person. He carried the image of the invisible God. He carried God's love, God's compassion, God's power. Everything carried in his person. He's the image of the invisible God. Secondly, he carried the power of God. Not just the person, but the power, his power. The Bible says, by him all things were created. The created order is his handiwork. All things were made through him. Through him, the universe came into existence. Through him, the laws of the universe were established. The laws of nature were established. Through him, the elements took shape and manifested in the constellations. Through him, mankind became self-conscious beings. All things were created, including the devil. The devil didn't create himself. He was a created being who rebelled, but he has an owner. He has an owner. And the Bible says one day the owner will grab him, bind him, and put him in a bottomless pit. And he can't free himself because he has an owner. He is a rebellious child, but his owner still has power. And the owner is going to get him. I said the owner is going to get him. The Bible says all things were created by him, visible and invisible. Demons were rebellious angels who rebelled with Satan from heaven, but they were created. They were created by him and for him. He uses them to display his glory. He uses them to show his power. All things were created by him and for his purpose. So although they have rebelled against him and fight his purposes, it doesn't change the fact that all things were made by him and for him. That's very important. His power. And not only his power, his position. He came in his person, his power, his position. The Bible says he is before all things. He's above all things. Nothing comes ahead of him. He's above all principality and power, that in all things he may have the preeminence. His name is above every name. He is number one. And everyone will appear before him in judgment. Kings, princes, past, present, future. The devil himself will appear before him because he is the number one. In all things, he is number one. He is first. He has the preeminence. He is above all things, before all things. There's nothing ahead of him. So when he is in you, you have to figure out what is in you. And the fourth thing I want to draw your attention to is his promise, his person, his power, his position, his promise. The Bible says, in him all things consist. Not only did he create all things, but he says, in him he promises to hold everything together. All things consist. All things are held together by him. Even when we feel that everything is getting out of hand, he wants us to know that in him all things consist. When you feel like your life is going into being blown into pieces and nothing is working and everything is confusing in your life, remember, in him all things consist. That's why when he was in the boat and the disciples were worried about the storm, he was asleep. Because in him all things consist. The storm cannot get out of way. In him all things consist. In him all things consist. In him all things, your problems, your confusion, your disturbance, in him all things consist. He holds it together. Your life is not going out of control. Your situation is not getting out of control. It may appear so, but in Christ, all things consist. You may feel like you are spinning in a washing machine and nothing is working, but in him, all things consist. In him, all things consist. That's why we can boldly say, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Because in him, nothing is missing, nothing is broken. Even when the enemy attacks you, he's going to hold it together. Even when you are thrown out, he will hold it together. You hold it together. You have to know that Jesus Christ is not shocked. He is not surprised. He is not overtaken by any event in your life. The problem is, instead of looking to him, in him all things consist, we look at the problems and we forget that inside us is living the one who holds everything together. He holds everything together. He holds everything together. He holds everything together. Somebody say, he holds everything together. Say it one more time. Say, he holds everything together. He holds it together, my friend. You are held together. You will not break apart. You are held together. In him, all things are held together. That is why the earth is moving in space. It has no legs. And we are building on it happily. This thing is moving very fast and revolving, rotating and moving very fast in space. And all around us are meteors and all kinds of asteroids. If just one day the earth just says, I've been doing this circle for too long, I'm just going a little way. Hey, we are gone. The next time we realize we are in Mars, we keep going. We're in Pluto. We are we've gone out of our solar system. But we are here. And you are comfortably building, and you don't even have any clue that this thing you are building on is turning on nothing. You are not flung into outer space, and you are even making plans for the next 20 years, and you believe this thing will not fling out. Why? Because in him all things consist. That power that holds things together, the scientists may call it gravity, but in him all things are held together. Jesus, the fullness of him that fulfills all things. Now let's see how Jesus described his relationship with the Father in us. In 1 Peter 1:14, the scripture tells us that believers are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. That literally means that God has allowed us to share of his divine nature. John chapter 17, from 22 to 23, Jesus describes a three-step process by which God made us partakers of his divine nature. John 17, verse 22 to 23. John 17, 22 to 23. This is what Jesus says. Some of it I'm going to deal with next week, but I'll read them. He says, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them." That's heavy loaded. I will unpack it next week. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So let's look at the three steps that Jesus talks about. First, he talks about you in me. What does that mean? It means that the Father poured himself into Christ. The Father poured himself. The Godhead was poured into the man Jesus. The man Jesus was fully God and fully man. He carried the fullness of the Godhead. You in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ. So God, the Father, poured himself into Christ. That's the first step.